If you have a Bible with you, it would be helpful to have it open at John chapter 12, which is where we'll be this evening. Particularly looking at this short account towards the end of the passage that we read, starting at verse 20, where John writes, "There were certain Greeks among the people that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" This happened in the last week of Christ's earthly life before his crucifixion, when Christ was in Jerusalem. And we read in our passage, didn't we, how Jesus entered Jerusalem with great fanfare. The crowds of people lay palm branches and their coats on the ground, and they cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And there was a great deal of expectation at what Christ would do. And as this passage shows us, it wasn't just the Jews in Jerusalem. There were many others from many other nations gathered for the Passover in Jerusalem, including these Greeks, these Gentiles, these non-Jews. And they have evidently come visiting Jerusalem, and they have heard of Jesus of Nazareth. They've perhaps heard of his miracles. They perhaps heard of his wonderful teaching. They've no doubt heard of his spectacular entry into Jerusalem. And it seems from these verses they can't get near Jesus. Perhaps the crowds are listening to him and they can't get near. And so they grab one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, and they tell him that they want to see Jesus. You might wonder, well, why Philip? And we don't know. Perhaps he was just the nearest at hand. But if you notice, it does mention that he was of Bethsaida of Galilee. And in other parts of the Bible, in the New Testament and Old Testament, Galilee is described as Galilee of the Gentiles. And it's possible that Philip's job, which we don't know what it was, involved him communicating with Gentiles, with non-Jews. In fact, Philip is a Greek name, though he was a Jew. So it's possible that Philip could speak Greek, and that is maybe one reason why these Greeks grab hold of Philip. And Philip, he goes to Andrew, and together they find Jesus. And they tell him, "There are these Greeks who want to see you." But then Jesus gives quite a strange response. He gives a response that you may not expect. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 23, after Philip and Andrew have told him of these Greeks who want to see him. Verse 23, John writes, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" Now, I doubt that was the response which either Andrew or Philip was expecting. You can almost imagine them saying to Jesus, "Well, yes, but what about these Greeks? What do you want us to say to them?" And as we read it today, we think, well, where did that come from? I don't know if you've ever had this experience of reading any part of the Bible, but particularly the Gospels, and people come to Jesus with questions, and Jesus' response seems utterly different to what you expected. And sometimes it can be quite disorientating, because you think, well, what does Jesus mean? Why does Jesus respond in this way? Why does he seem to change the subject? These Greeks want to see him, and then Jesus starts talking about the Son of Man being glorified, and then goes on in verse 24 about a corn of wheat falling into the ground, and if it doesn't fall into the ground and die, then it can't bear much fruit. And you think, why? Why does Jesus respond in this way? Well, there are, I believe, at least two reasons linked together, really, why Christ made this response to this request of the Greeks that they should see him. And the first reason Christ responds in this way is because Jesus wanted them to see him truly. Jesus wanted these Greeks to see him as he truly was. In essence, what his response is, when he says, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified," what he is essentially saying is, if these Greeks really want to see me, they could not have come at a better time. Now is the time when I'm going to be glorified. Then they will truly see me. To glorify means to lift up, or you could say to light up. It's to make something more visible so that many people can see it. That's what it means to glorify. It's praising someone when they have done something good. Praising someone before others that they might know that this person has done something praiseworthy. It's thanking someone when they have done something you have appreciated. It's putting a gold medal around someone's neck when they've won the race. It's putting them on a podium. It's giving them a round of applause. That's what glorification is. It's lifting someone up so that you can see what they have done and who they are. And what Jesus says is that's what's about to happen to him. The hour has come when he's going to be glorified. And in fact, all through this gospel, Christ has been talking about this hour. And for many of the times before this, he has said, "My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. It's not yet come. It's coming, but it's not here yet." But now he says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man, he himself, will be glorified." But what is this glorification that Christ is talking about? Is Christ going to receive a medal? Is Christ going to be given a round of applause? Are the people of Jerusalem going to make him king? Because it's strange, Jesus says the hour has come and the Son of Man is going to be glorified, but you'd think he would be pointing back to when he entered Jerusalem. That's when we think, naturally, he was glorified, when all the people were shouting his name, when all the people were shouting Hosanna, when all the people were laying down their coats and their palm branches and saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Surely that was when Jesus was glorified. Jesus says, "No, that's not when I am glorified. Now. Now is the hour when the Son of Man is glorified." Because Jesus was speaking of his death. He was speaking of how he was going to be betrayed, how he was going to be scourged, how he was going to be spat at, how he was going to have nails nailed through his hands and his feet, and he was going to be lifted up on a cross to suffocate to death. That's the glorification that Jesus is speaking of when he says, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." That's strange, isn't it? That's not the kind of glory we think of as glory. That is humiliation, not glorification. Yet Jesus says, "This is the hour I will be glorified." And he explains in verse 24 how that can be so. Listen to what he says in verse 24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus said, "He is like that little corn of wheat. He's like that little seed which must be humbled, must be brought down to the ground, must be buried, must die in the ground, because then it will bear much fruit." And that's what Christ says his death on the cross is like. His death on the cross is like that seed being planted in the ground, because in time it will bring much fruit. He says this a little bit later, in fact, in verse 31 and 32. He says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus is saying, "This is the reason I came. I came to die. This is my chief work. This is my most glorious moment, when I die for the sins of all those who trust in me." As Jesus taught repeatedly in the Gospels, he's teaching us again that the way up is down. The way up isn't by accumulating power to yourself. The way up is not about accumulating riches to yourself. Jesus shows in his own life that the way to glory is the way of humiliation, which is the path that Christ is taking. And when these Greeks come to him and they say, "We want to see you," Jesus is essentially saying, "Really? Do you really want to see me? Did you come to see a king? Did you come to see a man on a throne? Did you come to see a spectacular teacher? Did you come to see a miracle worker? Or have you come to see what I came to do, to die on a cross for the sins of all those who trust in me?" Jesus is testing these Greeks. Have you truly come to see me, or just who you want me to be? So that's the first reason Christ responds in this way. He wants these Greeks to see him as he truly is. But then there's a second reason, which is tied into it and linked. The second reason Jesus responds in this way is that Jesus wanted them to see him for the right reason. He wanted them to see him as he was, not just as he entered Jerusalem on a donkey to the praise of the people, but when he was hanging on a cross, being cursed by the people. The second reason is that he wanted them to see him for the right reason. Now, our instinct, at least my instinct, would be if I heard that someone wanted to see me, I would be inclined to think, "Ooh, someone wants to see me." And I would think to myself, "Well, I hope I make a good impression. I hope I don't disappoint them. I'd perhaps try and make an effort beforehand, before I see them, to try and make sure I look in the best way to them. I might put on my best and most flattering clothes. I might prepare. If I think they're wanting to ask me a question, I might make myself ready so that I might be able to answer their questions in the best way." But not Jesus. Jesus does not respond in this way. Jesus is not merely gleeful that people want to see him. He's not eager to live up to their expectation. He's concerned that they live up to his. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the one who they are coming to. He's not trying to impress them. What matters is why they are coming to him. Because the truth is, people come to Jesus for all sorts of reasons. They did back in the days he was on earth, and they do today. Earlier in John's Gospel, you might remember how the crowds followed him all around the lake because he had fed them with five loaves and two fishes. And they journeyed all night to meet Jesus in the morning. And Jesus says to them, "Why have you come to me?"